read the first seven verses of Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful work. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deed. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Dear Heavenly Father, as always, we thank you for the power and truth and promise of your word. And we are reminded that you deserve our praise because of all you are and of all you've done on the cross at Calvary, opening the door of heaven to all who would receive your most righteous gift. So, Lord, we celebrate that gift as we have received it this day, and we praise you because you are truly worthy of it all. In Christ's name we pray. Invite you to turn with me in your Bible, Psalm 71. But before we get started there, we've been talking for the last few weeks, several weeks, about what God has in mind. What God has in mind for your marriage. What God has in mind for your family. What God has in mind for your children. What God has in mind for your home. And we've covered several of the areas of that, and we've come nowhere near saying all that could be said and discovering all that God's Word has to tell us about all that. And we could stay on it from now till the Lord comes back and we would not fully grasp it all. You see, because what God has in mind is that we continue to learn. What God has in mind is that we keep seeking His face, that we keep pursuing His will, that we keep studying His Word and learning anew each and every day, each and every week, what it is that He would have us to do and who it is He would have us to be. What God has in mind is that we would learn from those older than us. That we would get the wisdom and knowledge from the generations past who have learned things that we have not yet learned. That's what God has in mind. So we want to talk just a minute or two to talk about what God has in mind today for the more seasoned citizens among us. Those who are older. How old is old, all right? Some of you are thinking, well, that applies to me. And some of you are thinking, that does definitely not apply to me. And some of you are thinking, well, I don't know if that applies to me or not. Well, how old is old? Let me put it this way. Depends on who you're with, okay? I'm in my early 40s. If I'm hanging out in a certain scene with a bunch of 20-year-olds, I look old and I feel old. If I'm hanging out in a different scene with a bunch of 75-year-olds, I don't look so old. Not to them. I still feel it, kind of, maybe. Sometimes, but it all depends. We all have something, all of us in this room, that we can teach someone younger than us. I watch our college students. They work with the Awana clubs on Wednesdays, and they're very helpful to them. I watch them teach Sunday school on Sunday mornings, and I see how little Daniel comes up to Casey and talks to him, and he looks up to him in a great way. You see, this very principle that we're going to talk about applies to every one of us on some level, but I want us to recognize that God has something in mind for the grandparents among us as well, that there's very much still in mind by Him for you. Psalm 71, I'm going to read verses 5 through 9 in the 71st Psalm, and it tells us this. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. In the United States of America, every 24 hours, 3,000 children see their parents get divorced. Every 24 hours. In the United States of America, every 24 hours, 1,629 juveniles are put in jail. Every day in this country, over 3,200 children run away from home. Every 24 hours in the U.S., 1,512 children drop out of school. And every 24 hours in the United States of America, 7,750 teenagers become sexually active. Now, I don't know every detail of every person here. Some of that may have brought up some emotion in many, but overall, for the most case, as we talk about people running away from home, people being put in jail, experiencing things. Most of these cases, we thought that wasn't me when I was that age. Praise God for your upbringing. Praise God for what He's done in your life so far. Praise God for what He did in your parents and through your parents. Praise God for all the great things that He has done in and through the generations before us. For that protected us from a great deal. Protected us from a lot. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your soul. But you said, we will not walk in it. Jeremiah prophesied to God's people, all you need to do is turn to the ancient paths and you will be blessed. Some of you have been too stubborn to do that, and we see that in our very own society today. We say, well, what is the ancient path? What is the old way? Let me tell you something. 30 years old is not ancient. It's not even old. 200, you know, okay, now you're starting to get old, but that ain't ancient. You go all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's the ancient path. Trusting in the Lord. Because you got nowhere else to turn. That's what Jeremiah was talking about. That's what our Bible teaches. Thank God for the path that our parents and grandparents chose that led us to the path that we're on here today. Amen? Thank God. Thank the Lord for the previous generation. Thank the Lord for the previous generations. Let us take just a minute and be mindful. Let us be thankful for our upbringing. Let's be thoughtful and appreciate those who taught us well. Those who sacrificed time and miles and money and effort. Those in this very room who made sacrifices to make this church and this day possible where we sit here and rejoice in the Lord. Many people have done many things to make life better and good for me and you. And we need to remember that. We need to be thankful of it. Thank God for Grandma. A little girl wrote, so I'm going to read it verbatim. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own, so she likes other people's boys and girls. Grandmas don't have anything to do except be there. If they take us for walks, they slow down past pretty leaves and caterpillars. They never say, hurry up. Usually they're fat, but not too fat to tie shoes. They wear glasses, and sometimes they can take their teeth out. They can answer questions like why dogs hate cats and why God isn't married. They don't talk like visitors do, which is hard to understand. When they read to us, they don't skip words or mind if it's the same story again and again. Everybody should try to have a grandma, especially if you don't have television, because grandmas are the only grown-ups that always have time. Leviticus 19:32, stand in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. Stand in the presence and show respect and revere your God. I am the Lord. This is the Lord speaking to all of us. Appreciate those that have gone before and have paved the way. There was one particular grandfather who didn't exactly look like Robert Redford anymore, if he ever did, and he's standing and looking at himself in the mirror one day, and his granddaughter, a little girl, come walking in, and she looked in the mirror, and she looked at her granddad, and then she stared at her own reflection for a minute or two, and she turned and she said, Grandpa, did God make you? And he smiled and said, well, yeah, He sure did. She looked at him in the mirror, and she looked at her own reflection again, and she said, Grandpa, did God make me? And he smiled and said, yes, dear, He certainly did. Why do you ask? She looked at both of them in the mirror again. She said, seems to me God's doing a lot better work lately. Our Bible tells us that while we look at the outward appearance of a man or woman, that God looks at the heart. That God looks at the heart of a person. And while your body, your physical outside body, will fail you and it will deteriorate and it's inevitable that it will wear down and droop, okay? The heart of the follower of Christ, as it gets older, as it matures, as it learns, as it processes, actually becomes more handsome and more beautiful and more like Jesus. And that's what God sees. That's what He looks at. It's a good thing. From our passage this morning, verses 5 and 6 say, for You have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. The implication is there that this person has learned to rely on God. This person has learned through trial and tribulation who to turn to and where to go. From birth I have relied on You. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. You see, the thing about the older generation, hey, listen to me, if you're older than me, you've seen God do great things. You've seen Him accomplish a great deal in people. You've seen Him change hearts. You've seen Him save lives. You've seen Him reconcile souls. You've seen God do great things. Things younger people have not yet seen. Talk about them. Share them with us so that we might gain that knowledge. Explain them. As we read earlier from Psalm 145, we read, the Lord said, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. Talk about these things. It's easy to get caught up in griping and complaining about how things are right now. It's easy to be negative. That's understandable. But you've also seen God do great things. And we see it here. It is God's will that the stories we know be told by us so that others might be blessed by them. We say, preacher, you're talking about my heart and I'm old and things have happened and my heart is scarred. Here's what I would tell you. Jesus Christ would say to you this morning, yes, I know. It is the scars that bring forth glory. He'd say, I'm scarred too. That's how God did great things. That's how He works. That's what God has in mind. Exodus chapter 12, Moses is talking to the Israelites about the Passover feast and to celebrate it. And he said, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as He promised, obey this ceremony. And when your children ask, when they ask, what does this ceremony mean? What does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. You see, the implication is there that God said, when the younger generation asks you, why do you do this? Why do we practice this? Why do we go here? Why do we do all these things? That you would have done something that would make them ask that question for the Lord. And that you would remind them that that is why you do it. Because God has been so good to you. You see, God seeks, listen to me very carefully on this, God seeks to provide you as an older person with an opportunity to share what you have seen Him do. It is His will. It is His plan. It is His glory. We said last week that God has a plan, and that plan includes you, every single one of us. It is His will that we have the opportunity to share. When they ask, am I doing anything in my life? Am I doing anything with my life that would cause people to ask, why do you do that? We're evangelicals. Sometimes the easiest and simplest way to evangelize, sometimes the best way to make disciples of others is just to simply live a life for the Lord that make people say, why are you so different? Why are you handling this differently from everybody else? Why do you look at this differently from everybody else? Verses 7 and 8 in Psalm 71, I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. For those of us who are younger, listen well to the previous generation. Listen to them as they share. It's easy to write off so much as nostalgia or tradition or fogyism or whatever the case may be. But be humble enough just to listen. If there's no value in what you hear, fine. But here's what I'm going to wager that 99% of the time, no, we're going to go the old ivory soap route on this. 99 and 44 100% of the time, if you'll listen, it'll be something there. There'll be something of value. There'll be something that'll bless you if we'll just listen. Psalm 78, as we hear what the Lord has to say to us again and again this morning, just a few pages over, first few verses of Psalm number 78. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, where we have heard and known what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them. even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. They would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. One thing that the older generation has learned is what to worry about and what not to. What is cause for concern and what is no big deal? And it's big that we pass that along. It's big that you pass it to my generation. It's big that we teach each other what truly matters and what does not. A grandfather was talking to his teenage grandson, and he said, "After you think you know it all, you discover that friends are more important than accolades and public recognition. After you think you know it all, you discover that family is more important than being right all the time. After you think you know it all, faith becomes the important thing. Then you discover that life is short." He said, "Wisdom is defined this way. You learn most things after you think you know it all." Let us listen to what those God has given us has to say. Let us listen to the lessons that can well be learned. Proverbs 16:31, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained in the way of righteousness." Here's what I would say to those of us who are maybe getting a little long in the tooth. You make a difference. You make a difference. Or at least you can make a difference. What God has in mind is that you would make a difference. His Word reveals that. We'll say, "I don't know about me. I'm no Billy Graham." Okay, who is? All right, he's the greatest evangelist of the 20th century. He's preached the gospel to millions. Only people I can think of you compare to Billy Graham or maybe the greatest evangelist of the 19th century, who was D.L. Moody, who probably preached to even more people than Graham had. We've just never seen him on TV, so maybe he's not quite as famous. But the 18th century counterpart of these two was Jonathan Edwards. Greatest evangelist of his time, the greatest evangelist of the century was Jonathan Edwards. He did awesome things. They did a study into Jonathan Edwards' family and found 1,394 descendants of his. 100 became preachers and missionaries. 100 were lawyers. 80 were public officials. 75 Army and Navy officers. 65 of them were college professors. 60 of them were doctors. 60 were prominent authors. 30 became judges. 13 college presidents. 3 of them were United States senators. And 1 Vice President of the United States of America from Jonathan Edwards' family. A likewise study of another man during that time named Max Jukes, who spent his entire life as a petty thief, found that 310 of his descendants died as paupers, 150 of them were convicted criminals, 100 were drunkards, 7 were murderers, and over half of the women became prostitutes. What we do can make a difference. What we do can make all the difference. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia passed away yesterday, the day before. He has been quoted as saying, "Have courage to have your wisdom regarded as stupidity. Be fools for Christ, and have the courage to suffer the contempt of the sophisticated world." We have the courage to be fools for Christ and to stand out, to stand differently, to stand in opposition to the ways of this world. That results in great things. More importantly, it will lead others to do great things. Take time to appreciate our elders. I want to close with one more story, if I may. Pappy was a pleasant fellow. His face was drawn from age. But when he smiled, even his wrinkles seemed to smile with him. Pappy owned a pawn shop. Everybody who knew him respected him and adored him. There was a room in the back of his shop where he spent time tinkering with his own precious items. He referred to his back room as Memory Hall. In it were pocket watches, clocks, and electric trains. Pappy enjoyed spending time in Memory Hall. Sometimes he would close his eyes and relive a simple childhood memory. One day, Pappy was reassembling an old railroad lantern. As he polished the lantern, he heard the bell on the shop door. The bell had been in Pappy's family for over 100 years. He cherished it dearly. Pappy left Memory Hall to greet his customer. At first, he didn't see anyone. His customer was shorter than the counter. Pappy said, "How can I help you?" The little girl looked at Pappy with her big brown eyes, then slowly scanned the room in search of something special. She said, "I'd like to buy a present for my grandpa, but I don't know what to get." Pappy began to make suggestions. "How about a pocket watch? It's in good condition. I fixed it myself." The little girl didn't answer. Finally, she walked to the door. She wiggled the door gently to ring the bell. The little girl smiled with excitement. "This is just right," she bubbled. "Mama says grandpa loves music. Just then, Pappy knew what she wanted, his bell. He didn't want to break the little girl's heart. I'm sorry, but that's not for sale. Maybe your grandpa would like a radio. The little girl looked at the radio and sighed, no, I don't think so. In an effort to help her understand, Pappy told her the story of how the bell had been in his family for many years, and that was why he didn't want to sell it. The little girl said, I guess I understand. Thank you anyway. Suddenly, Pappy thought of how the rest of his family were gone. That was, except for his estranged daughter, whom he had not seen in a decade. Pappy thought, why not pass the bell to someone who would share it with a loved one? He said, I've decided to sell the bell. The little girl said, oh, thank you. Grandpa will be so happy. Pappy felt good about helping the child, even though he knew that he would miss the bell. Later that evening, Pappy prepared to close up shop. He found himself thinking about the bell. He thought about the child and wondered if her grandpa liked the gift. He knew that any grandfather would cherish anything from such a precious grandchild. Just then, as he turned off the lights in Memory Hall, Pappy thought he heard his bell. But he knew that was ridiculous. He'd sold it. In a minute, he heard the bell again. He turned toward the door, and there stood the little girl. She was ringing the bell and smiling. Pappy was puzzled. What's this? Have you changed your mind? No, she grinned. Mommy says it's for you. Before Pappy had time to say another word, the child's mother stepped in the doorway. Choking back her tears, she said, hello, Dad. Whatever you give, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever you, no matter what age you are, whatever you give, you are only passing along something that was given to you. We don't create anything. We don't make anything. We don't conjure anything out of nothing. We only have what the Lord and somebody older than us has given to us. So remember, whatever it is I pass along, whether it be wisdom or knowledge, whether it be time or effort, whether it be material or monetary, anything I give, I'm just passing along something that God Almighty gave to me. And what happens each and every single time when we give like that, when we give of the Lord, as Jesus Christ showed on the cross, by giving what He had, and that was His very life. When you give what God has given to you for His glory and the good of others, He will give you back what you gave away and more. Jesus gave a life, got that life back, plus eternal life. That is the ancient way that we would give. Now for some of us, we've been clinging to our own life, and we've been clinging to it, white-knuckle gripping it, and we don't want to give it up. What I want you to know is Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you would just give your life to Him, the one who's proven Himself, and receive it all back plus more. That's how it works. And I only know this because someone older than me took the time to teach me. And I want to teach it to as many as I can. If that's you today, then I pray that during our invitation you'll come forward and make a sacrifice that you'll never regret. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we're thankful for what You have done in our lives. And we want to praise You for what You've done in the lives of our parents and grandparents, in the lives of those in our church that have come before us and paved the way for what we now know is our life. Lord, we thank You that they were willing to give so that we might receive, just like Jesus showed us. So thank You, God, for the previous generation and the generation before that. They deserve all the honor we can give them, for they have made so much possible. And Lord, if there's anyone here today, any man, woman, or child in this room this morning who does not know Your forgiveness, who does not know eternal life, who has never given their life to You and received their eternal life back, I pray in Jesus' name that You would lead them to do that very thing right here today before it's everlasting too late. So Lord, we praise You and we thank You and we lay these humble requests as always at Your feet as You sit on the throne of heaven and earth, expecting good things as always from the hand of our loving Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.